Morning, everyone. How are we doing? Despite the gloomy weather, we're still in good spirits, I hope. Yes, that's the correct answer. Yes. Any of you guys relate to this? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just breathe, right? And so I wanted to talk to you guys today a little bit about rest, right? You know, in May 2017, the CDC released the leading cause of death in the United States. What do you think that was? Would you be surprised to learn that for the past 100 years, heart disease remains at the top? In an article, online article published by the Mayo Clinic, it concurred and listed a few causes. It says, and I quote, "Outside of family history and high blood pressure, unrelieved stress can be destructive to our overall health." The study continued by arguing that the ways in which we can prevent from being a statistic is through exercise, good diet, and rest. Now, I don't know if any of you are like me, but I'm tired. I'm stressed out. I feel drained. I am just simply exhausted. Do you know anyone like this? How about you? How are you feeling? You know, this past week we celebrated the memories of those individuals and their families that laid down their lives for this country. And for some of us, this meant an additional day off of work to rest and reflect on what was done for our freedom. Can I be honest with you completely? I didn't rest, okay? I am one of those individuals that didn't take the advantage of doing that and spent my entire day running around like a lunatic trying to make sure things were done and things were set up and ready to rock and roll for the entire week. I did not do that. Are you guys, any of you guys like that at all? Do you suffer from the same problem as I do? You don't. Okay. You're doing far better than I am then.
No God, no peace.
There you go. And so I wanted to ask you a question. How many of us have a difficult time unplugging from the world? Yeah. How about from ourselves? You know, friends, this kind of excessive behavior can be damaging not only to our psyche and not just to our bodies physically, but to our spirits as well. For some of us here, this is normative life in the DMV, right? 150 miles an hour, man, as you're cruising, right? Hair's on fire and you're adding things to your plate, which you have no business adding to your plate, but you're still doing it anyways because you're that kind of person. You need to get things done, right? You're a producer. And then you come to church. Welcome. For those of you that don't attend here regularly, welcome to this church, where all who are weary may find rest. If you're anything like me, you long for rest and restoration after a challenging week, perhaps after a challenging month, and for some of us, a challenging year. If I've just described you, then may I just say, you're in the right place today. I'll say that again. Folks, you're in the right place today. Welcome. Today we're going to discover and uncover in the text two things. One is an invitation. The second is a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You know, when my wife and I were dating very early on, I used to spend a lot of time just sitting on our balcony just talking, right? I wanted to get to know her. We spent time and she would just talk. And I got an opportunity to learn some amazing things about her, right? And like any good storyteller, she was that person that took you on a journey, multiple journeys in the same conversation. I got to hear about when she was a little girl, right? And some of her trips when she went to the Outer Rondex and the camping trips that she was on and had a fantastic time. And then before you know it, we're now talking about her career and how life was before we were together. And before you know that, we managed to quantum leap into the next topic. And it was exhausting trying to keep up. I have to be honest. Are there any guys in here? You understand what I'm saying? It can be a challenge to try to keep up with that kind of storytelling. But I'm telling you right now, I remember later on, as nearing the end of our courtship, right, as we were dating, I made the mistake. Anyone ever make a mistake with their spouse?
Yes.
I have. And I said this, and I quote, Any chance that your brain ever takes a break? Now, that sounds very disrespectful. It wasn't received that way. What I was trying to say in that moment, what I was trying to say to her was, hun, is there any chance that you can just slow down? Because I wanted to understand who she was. I wanted to get to know her better. And I felt that just as long as I was getting to understand who she was and the story that she was telling, we just poof, flash, we go to the next thing. And I wanted to go, I was stuck back on step one, trying to figure out what just happened. I survived that conversation. I'm here today, aren't I? And she said yes. So there you go. Friends, if you have a Bible, I invite you to take it out, or take out your tablet, or take out your phone, or whatever device you have there with you. And I want to talk to you today about this thing called rest. I felt that God had put this on my heart when Nick asked me to come and speak today, and that was the first thing. And I was just sharing this with some brothers and sisters of mine just earlier when Nick said, "Hey, listen, will you come speak?" I said, "Absolutely." And the first thing that hit me was rest. And so Matthew chapter 11 is where we're going to dig in. We're going to be in verses 25 through 30. Our primary focus is going to be 28 through 30. So if you didn't bring a Bible, that's not a problem. Just follow along. We have some slides for you so that you guys can keep up. And really, I just want you to understand that this topic of rest, and I want us to understand how important it is, not just for our minds and our body, but also for our soul. And I believe that through this text, Jesus understood the importance of rest. He could relate to us the need to have our souls replenished. I mean, if you think about his ministry, it was such that he was constantly healing and teaching those who he loved, right? Jesus did an awful lot of this. But after days of doing this, he would steal away to pray and be with the Father and rest. In the text today, we'll see that Jesus' invitation to do the same as he did, to come to him, right, and receive rest. In fact, I invite you to do something a little different today. Nick's not here and Caleb's not here, so I can do what I want. I'm going to invite you guys today right now to close your eyes. I don't know why you're here. We all come for different reasons. But if you have something that's on your heart that you need to lay down, if you need to connect with God right now, I invite you to do that. I invite you right now to close your eyes. And just like the video we just watched, exhale your stress. Close your eyes right now and just focus on Jesus right now. I want you to exhale your stress and inhale his words. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take a moment to meditate on that, will you? Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to be here today. I don't know what's on my brothers and sisters' hearts. I really don't, Lord, but what I do know is that you promised to meet me when I submit my life to you, when I accept your invitation, Lord, that you are faithful to restore, Lord. And I am just so thankful that I'm able to do that today. And for those that are here today with an earshot of my voice that need to have that rest and restoration, Lord, I pray that it be you today that gives it to them, that your Spirit is working inside of them to give them what they need. Lord, I ask as we comb the scriptures, your words, that they ignite a passion in us, Lord, that you give us ears to hear and a heart, Lord, that is bent towards you to receive your word so we can rest. I thank you for your word that you've given me today, this opportunity to stand here and proclaim who you are. I ask your blessing upon the day. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of background. I'm not a huge fan, as I've spoke here before a couple times, of just picking out a verse and just talking about that verse. So I have to give you a little context behind it so we understand and so that none of you get lost, including myself. So a little bit of background in chapter 11. Jesus is in Galilee teaching and preaching to the crowd. Okay, and he challenges the crowd, okay, by confirming that John is the true prophet of God. Jesus is basically John's cheerleader at this point, going, you know what? This is John, right? And John had his disciples. This is John, and he is who I said he is. He is a prophet, right? And he's legit in what he's doing. And so you guys need to repent. And so Jesus compares then the generation of a group of little children to the group that he's speaking to sitting in the marketplaces that are not pleased by anything, right? They're not satisfied with John the Baptist because he won't eat and drink. And they're also not satisfied with Jesus because Jesus will eat and drink with whomever, right? He was eating with sinners and doing all kinds of stuff like that. Then we see a shift in the text where Jesus condemns the cities around him, right? The cities that he had done his most significant miracles, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, right? And why did he reject them? Because he had shown them, these three cities, who he was. He showed them the miracles so that they would believe, and they chose to turn their back and say, forget it, I want nothing to do with you. So there was that choice. There was an invitation at these three cities that they have decided, we don't want anything to do with you. And this is where we pick up in the text. Verse 25 to 30. And then Jesus said to the crowd, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this what you were pleased to do. Verse 27. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And here's our verse, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is light, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. End quote. I have 3 points today in observation of 28 through 30. The first point is Jesus' calling echoes the Sabbath. Jesus' calling echoes the Sabbath. The words come to me, right? I want you to wrap your mind around this concept. Hear me now. I want you to wrap your mind around this concept. Here is God incarnate, the God of the universe, who is reaching out to his people. Think about that for just a second. He's calling them back to himself. He was offering a restored relationship with God. If you look at the biblical narrative as it plays out from Genesis to Revelation, you can observe on how God, when we broke the system, so to speak, right? In Genesis 3, when the fall happened, as a result, God has then is constantly in pursuit of his greatest creation, mankind. And so this is what we see. We see an invitation from an incarnate God of the universe going, hey, come to me. I want that relationship back with you. I want things to be restored. I desire you. And that's what he's saying here. Realize that these guys had not already possessed eternal life. This is an invitation outwardly to all people, not a select kind of people, but to all people. This is Jesus talking. This has the Sabbath written all over it. The Sabbath was and still remains a holy day that was made so that they could connect with God. Jesus' language here echoes the Ten Commandments. Do you hear it? Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But now what's interesting about the text is that Jesus is arguing that he is the Sabbath. When he says, come to me. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. This is an echo of Mark 2, right? Mark 2 talks about this. Then he said, the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. The sons of man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Right? By coming to him and resting in him, they can enjoy peace. This was an invitation for rest and reflection. This was a gift. Hear it. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. He knew the weight that the Pharisees had placed on the Jews. He was speaking to all the people that were there that were weary of hard toil and burdened with the weight of sin and its consequences. He says, I will give you rest. I will. That's a promise. My wife and I have 3 children, and they're all great. One's 17, about ready to be 18, sitting up front here. We have, and she's the oldest, and then the boys. Los hombres, right? 8 and 4. Handfuls, right? My kids are fantastic, but they can be a handful at times, right? So any of you that have children understand that it can be a roller coaster. It can be an emotional, taxing roller coaster to spend time with what it means to be a young lady growing up, right? And then also to work with boys that just won't sit down and stop talking. And so what happens is that we work with our kids and we love our kids, but there's a time that we got to tag out, man. My wife and I are high-fiving each other, going, all right, you're in, I'm out, right? Like wrestling, like WrestleMania at times. But we need, and we do this for one another because we must have rest. Why? Because honestly, if we can't, if we don't receive that kind of rest and that restoration, we won't be parents that worth anything, right? Like we need to be restored so that we can be better parents, better for each other, and better for everyone else in that house. So that's point one. Point two. Jesus' calling offers relief. We see it in the text here. Take my yoke upon you. Friends, this is a call to exhale. I'll say that again. This is a call to exhale. He tells the crowd that if they take up his yoke and follow him, that they may find rest for the souls and sin's burden. How amazing is this, brothers and sisters? Here, Jesus is telling them to just let it go. Do you see that in the text? Let the stress go. Let go of the hurt. Let go of the worry. Whatever burdens they've carried, whatever sins they've committed, let them go. The Pharisees misused and abused the power granted by God Almighty himself to control, to suppress, and to weight down that which themselves were not able to do. These guys were famous for that. Do as I say, not as I do, right? Like that was one of their things, right? I'm going to tell you to do this, but I myself am not willing to do that. I'm not going to put my hand in the fire. You do this for me. And you see it supported in Matthew 23, verse 4, when he said the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, right? Seat of authority, okay? So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. And here it is. They tie heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on others' shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger and move on. Folks, Jesus is calling them to let go of their lifestyle of guilt, their lifestyle of shame, of oppression, and let it go. He's offering them relief as he calls them, come to me, come to me. You know, this could be better summed up and fast forward, right? A couple thousand years later to 2013, Disney came out with a fantastic movie, okay? Stop me if you heard this, right? The movie is about a queen, right? Queen Elsa, who has this uncontrolled ability to make ice. So she abandons her kingdom, flees to the mountains, and while she's there, Elsa realizes that she no longer needs to hide who she is. And so declares herself free from any restrictions that she has since her childhood. She rejoices in being able to be used. She rejoices in being just to be herself. That's what she just wants to do, just be able to be herself. She's free from any more judgment, any more ridicule, as she belts out that popular tune. Let it go. You know it. Let it go, let it go. It's been 5 years. I've been trying to let that song go. Okay? I can't let it go. But that's what Jesus is talking about right now. Guys, he was literally saying, let that go and take up my yoke. Let your old style, let your old lifestyle go. Take up my yoke and I'll give you rest. Third point, Jesus is calling, and don't miss this, is to true discipleship. Hear me say that. Jesus is calling is to true discipleship. In the text, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus speaking to, he was speaking to them in their own language, something that they could identify with and understand, right? A yoke that you put on oxen or calf, or excuse me, on cows or donkeys was put on them. So it was an older animal that was training a younger animal in the ways as they tread out the grain, right? You're attaching them to one another so that when they're supposed to do something, the younger animal can learn. And so that's what Christ is saying here. He's saying, attach yourself to me so I can train you. You hear that? And the best part about that is that Christ could have done whatever he wanted. He could have chosen any other person to do this. Does he? No. Follow me. I will show you how to do it. He does it himself. And that's what this call is. He's saying to pick up his yoke, which is light, and hitch yourself to me, and let me train you. I love that he does that. And then here's your promise. You will find rest for your soul. So often, friends, we find ourselves running day to day to day, Monday through Friday. Like I said before, 150 miles an hour and adding this stuff. And you could be physically drained from doing these things. What about emotional taxation? Don't we do that to ourselves sometimes? Aren't we emotionally taxed at times? We neglect to get spiritual rest. And so to learn from the Master was to be a disciple of Jesus. They were learning from the one that was there before time began. Jesus was offering them rest. Don't miss this. Jesus was offering them rest from the Father, through him, and by the Spirit. I'll say it again. Jesus was offering them rest from the Father, through himself, and by the Spirit. You say, that's fantastic. I don't even watch Frozen. Never seen the movie. How does that relate to me in 2018? All right, let's try to answer that. Friends, here's my argument. I believe that we're being offered the same invitation and promise. The Lord is calling us back to him so that we may find rest. Folks, this is heaven bending down on a regular basis and asking us to be restored back to him. Constantly, this happens. As you read the scriptures, he's taking us into 2018. I believe that as he continues to pursue us, as he invites us to know peace, he longs to restore the relationship. Listen to it. Come to me and rest from your daily labors that you've been called to. Come to me and rest and know that I'm in control. Come to me and rest from the weights of sin and guilt that paralyze you from walking with me. Far too often, we are worried about our sins and allow them to define us. I'm here to tell you that that's a lie. That is an absolute lie, and don't you dare believe that. You are who Jesus Christ says you are. You are children of the living God, redeemed and set free. You were bought, paid for in full by the precious blood of Christ. You are co-heirs and brothers and sisters to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And for those of you here that don't know him, he's inviting you into a personal relationship with him today. He wants you to know that no matter what, you're loved. He wants you to know him personally. He wants you to know one of the most important things that I think we get wrong, that there is nothing that you have done that you will not be forgiven of. Nothing. No man or woman on this planet can do anything and have heaven can't fix. Nothing you can do. You are accepted, and you will be accepted. That is a promise, and God can't break his promises. And too often, that's the problem with the church, right? Is that you have people that feel, well, my sins are just too great. I can't be forgiven. That's nonsense. Nonsense. We need to be forgiven every single day. I know I do. Friends, what grips you and keeps you from enjoying this rest? What are you holding on to? Do you know, do you realize that sometimes if you hold too tightly to something, it causes more damage than just to let it go? take Elsa's words for advice, man. Let it go. She's wise beyond her years. Serious. Believe it or not, we cause more stress in our lives than the world does. I know it's hard to imagine. It's what we, the way we filter, right? We're, the way we're designed. We filter in what we take in from the world and how we process it. So my question to you is, are you relying on your own strength to gut it out, to get up every single morning and just, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to charge the hill. How are you doing that? If you are, then that might be one of the reasons that we find ourselves saying things like, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm stressed out, I feel burned out. Or are you coming to the foot of the cross and giving over to the one whose yoke is light? Friends, give it over to Jesus. Let it go. I used to tell my wife this, give her this imagery. It's weird imagery, so if you laugh at me, that's, I don't care, that's fine. It's true. Of my sins. And so I'd always imagined what I was giving, you know, on my end to give to the Lord was this big, like, Christmas bag, big red bag, and it's full. And I am having a hard time taking this bag and dragging it. I'm taking step by step by step, as slow as I... And I'm telling you, this bag is filled with my guilt. It's filled with my shame. It's filled with my sins. It's filled with all the stuff that I have to give him. And then I leave it at the foot of the cross. And I have to do this on a regular basis. And I have to say to him, that's all I have. That's all I have. And what's amazing about that, in that moment, I realized that's all I have to offer. My brother Eric made mention earlier today in one of the small groups there that he doesn't need me, but he desires me. He doesn't count on me because he's self-sufficient. He's not angry at me. He loves me. And he's in pursuit of me. Which then forces me to ask this question about my God. Why me? God, why me? Why do you love me like you do? He's saying the same thing to you. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what kind of heavy luggage you carried into church today. And I don't know what you're carrying around with you or the strain that comes with it. Some of us have regrets from past mistakes. Others are dealing with stress of family members. I'd imagine there are some of us in here that have been deeply wounded by someone we love. There may be others in here struggling with people with addictions that can't seem to break free from. And you spend every moment wrestling with them and dealing with the pain. Still others of us are stressed out with an uncertainty that comes with jobs and having to start all over again from square one. Maybe you've lost a loved one and you're just angry. Will you let me encourage you today? Jesus knows right where you are. And he understands. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Friends, Christ knows what you're going through. And he's calling you back to him. Come to me. Take up my yoke. Beloved, he wants you to come to him and find rest and be restored and cast your fears, your anxieties, your concerns on him. His yoke is light because he, the Lord Jesus Christ, that carries your burdens and not you. Friends, let go and let God. If that's you here today, let me encourage you to do that. Let go and let God. I think it's perfect timing to take Jesus up on his invitation. I think it's time that we take the warning signs seriously from the CDC. Stress can wreak havoc in our lives if we don't let it go. When's the last time you made an appointment with your heavenly physician? When's the last time you exhaled the burdens of life and inhaled the Word of God? When was the last time? When's the last time you took Jesus up on his offer and sat at his feet? Friends, this is something that's good. And as I tell you this story, I'm reminded of Mary and Martha and Jesus in Luke, right? In the book of Luke. In Luke 10, where Jesus says, as Jesus and the disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha had opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had been made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And I love the Lord's response. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. How many Marthas do we have in here? I'm a Martha, right? Worrying about all that stuff. Friends, let me invite you to do that on your daily walks. Take time. We are busy people in the DMV. Busy people in the DMV. You have to be intentional. Intentional about your time with the Lord. If you do not do that, you will not make it. I'm telling you, I've seen this. It is taxing what you have to go through. I'm going to have the band come up and the ushers. Friends, three takeaways that I will leave you with is simply this. And this is a direct reflection of what the CDC had to say. Number one is eat healthy. Right? Let me argue, spending time reading the Word of God and being fed, let the Word of God feed you. Let the Scriptures feed you on a regular basis. Number two, exercise. Exercise what you are studying and talk with people about it in your community groups. Put it into practice daily. And three, get rest. Spend some time alone at Jesus' feet. These three things are what's needed. As I said before, friends, I don't know what you have on your heart. I don't know the luggage or baggage that you carry. We all have some. We're going to open the altars, and if you guys need prayer, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, come to the altar and lay it down. Because I will show you in Scripture what will hinder your prayers if you don't. Let it go. Let it go. Father, thank you for this day and for your message. Lord, I just pray that you imprint this truth, tattoo this truth on our hearts. Lord, help us to live this truth out every single day that we need you and we need rest. Some of us in here, Lord, are hurting badly. And we just need to find rest in you. Because you promise us that when we come to you, that gospel call to come to you, that you give us rest for our souls. And it's what we need. I thank you for this church. I thank you for this leadership here. I thank you for the pastors. I thank you for the entire congregation, Lord. They have been a tremendous blessing on my family. And Lord, I thank you for what you've done on the cross for me. I give you the glory, Father. In your Son's precious name, the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, and through the power of your Spirit. Amen.